Nick wiped the remaining blood and spit from his mouth with a sleeve. His vision was blurring at the edges, and he was certain there was a fracture in his jaw. Gilbert's punches weren't the hardest he'd ever felt, but the boy had clearly been paying attention during combat training. Gilbert materialized in front of him. A fresh spurt of blood poured down his face. Nick knew he couldn't take much more of this.
Not bad. I mean, if we ignore the fact that you've had over a year of combat training... Because if we included it, then your inability to take me down would be pathetic.
You're the one on the ground!
And it only took you 5 tries to get me, a powered, down here. If you fuck as well as you fight, I'm guessing your only successful pickup line is a chloroform-soaked rag.
Stop letting him get to you and finish it already!
Terrence turned his attention back to Mary, just as she hurled a large chunk of tree at his head. The branch began to glow, shrinking nearly out of sight. Tiny as a toothpick, it bounced harmlessly off Terrence's uniform jacket. His fingers dipped into his pocket and emerged with 3 quarters. As they flew, they grew to the size of dining tables. By the time Mary deflected them, the quarters had grown to the size of large dining room tables.
You heard your boss, Gilbert. Better finish me off.
Nick rose nimbly back to his feet.
I don't think he wants to keep trying his luck with Mary.
Don't be an idiot. Terrence is clearly winning.
Not only if you ignore the fact that sooner or later he'll run out of stuff to throw. Not to mention, Mary doesn't have to throw things at him. She can just pick him up and smash him to the ground.
Nick knew she couldn't use that strategy against someone as frail as Terrence safely. But Gilbert didn't need to know that.
If she could do that, she would have.
Maybe. Or maybe she's keeping him occupied so you and I can have our little dance. See, I'm gonna beat you, Gilbert. Because sooner or later, you'll make a mistake. And I'll capitalize on it. If you were a better fighter, maybe you could knock me out. But since this is all you got, I think we both know it's just a matter of time.
You talk a lot of shit for a guy with blood all over his uniform.
Gilbert shifted his weight anxiously.
It's working. My blood is just a brilliant red testament to your failure. Each drop, a symbol of my resilience and your weakness. Because even after losing all this blood, I'm still awake to call you a bitch.
Gilbert disappeared and reappeared again behind Nick. He leapt onto Nick's back, wrapping his legs around Nick's waist and getting him in a chokehold. Nick staggered as Gilbert drove the air out of his body and didn't let him take any more in. Sure enough, both of them collapsed backward onto the ground. Gilbert smiled as he felt Nick's body tremble on top of his own.
Where's that chatter now? Anything you want to say before you pass out?
Got you.
Gilbert's head exploded in pain as his whole body began to shake uncontrollably. By the time he lost contact with Nick's body, he was already unconscious. Nick lay there on the ground a few inches away with a taser clutched tightly in his hand. The metal prongs pressed forcefully against his own leg. He'd hidden it in his pocket as soon as they arrived on the field. There was a shit-eating grin on his face as he lost consciousness. Mary and Terrence had paused in their own battle to see how the other contest would shake out.
Well then, I suppose that just leaves you and me.
Bring it on! I can go all day.
Actually, you can't. Funny thing about keeping all your ammo in your pockets, they can be ripped out while you're distracted.
Huh?
Terrence reached into the main pocket he'd been using and found it intact, with only a single quarter remaining. His other pockets had been torn along the seams, and his entire stockpile of coins was now gone.
I can still neutralize anything you throw!
Anything?
Terrence felt a firm force take hold of his coat and pants before jerking him several feet into the air.
I'm pretty sure you can't shrink the ground when it's racing toward you.
This is lethal force!
No. You're only 2 stories up. You'll survive with a broken ankle or shattered leg, as long as you land on your feet anyway.
You could have done this all along. Why didn't you?
It's been brought to my attention recently that I need to improve my level of control. Fighting you is pretty good practice at that. We should do it again sometime when this is all over.
Camille stood before Hector and Alan in a sports bra and pants.
What the hell are you doing?
She ignored Hector as she seized her pants by the waistband and unfastened some concealed buckles on the interior of each side. A hard yank separated the snaps that ran down the legs, revealing a pair of bike shorts. She tossed her slacks to the grass.
This took an interesting turn.
Did you customize your uniform just to be able to take it off?
Camille sprinted toward Vince. Hector shot his arm out several feet and intercepted her. His long, elastic fingers encircled her torso.
Nice distraction, but did you really think we'd let you?
Alan stared at Hector's unconscious body. He was bleeding, and his now retracted arms and legs were twisted at awkward angles.
What? What did you do? You're a healer. You can't hurt people.
Camille took three tentative steps and then charged. Alan hurled a series of green energy bolts at her feet, which Camille deftly sidestepped. She tried to grab Alan, but he rolled to the side. Alan stood and took a second to line up his shot. Bad move. A weak energy bolt slammed Camille's shoulder as she grabbed his neck. His left ankle bone exploded beneath the skin, dropping him to the ground. Alan looked up to see Camille press her hand to the burn mark on her shoulder. A gentle light came over it as the singed skin became pink and healthy once more.
You're a damn healer! You aren't supposed to be able to injure people!
I'm not a healer. I'm an absorber. I hold injuries the same way Vince holds energy. And healing people all last year has given me quite an arsenal to work with.
That's why you stripped down. You need to touch us skin to skin. Hector couldn't stop you without touching you. That's why no one knows about this. You spent all last year under the radar just so you could build up a backlog of damage.
I do apologize.
Camille closed the distance between them. She hunkered down and cupped Alan's face gently in her hand.
I'll heal you as soon as our match is over. I don't want anyone to suffer unnecessarily.
Kiss my ass if you think I'm letting you heal me. You're not getting this damage back. I'll use someone else. And you better believe I'm telling everyone about this so your little trick won't work anymore.
Do as you please. Tell people what you want. Just make sure you understand. I have plenty of damage left to give. And I will do whatever it takes to protect my teammates.
Alan might have made a point of asking her about that little verbal slip, had his world not dissolved into a cacophony of pain.
Do you think you might have gone a little overboard back there?
Alice and Roy trudged along through the trees in search of the enemy's flag.
What do you mean? He changed back, so I kept my word. I only broke one leg.
Yeah, I don't think I would have used the word break to describe what you did. Shattered, destroyed, annihilated. Those might be more fitting.
Ah, you're being dramatic. All I did was grab his leg and squeeze. There's no room for squeamish stomachs in these competitions.
I suppose. Still, makes me glad I'm not responsible for handling those situations.
Don't knock it till you tried it.
I think it'd take a pretty miraculous set of circumstances for me to try it.
I guess so. Man, we haven't run into anyone since Adam. Where the hell is everybody? I'm gonna be pissed off if that's the only action I get all day.
Their team is less combat-oriented than ours. We didn't exactly expect them to come charging out in an offensive attack.
I know. Man can still hope.
I just hope we find the flag soon. The less people we see, the more I worry about them closing in on our base.
Nothing we can do about that. We've got our job and the others have theirs. We'll just have to hope they're as good at it as we are.
On that note, I'm gonna fly up and take a look.
Alice rose off the ground and crested the tree line, scanning for any signs of movement. She lowered herself back down after only a few seconds.
No visible people around us, but there's a clearing just ahead I want to check out. It looks similar to the one around our base camp.
Lead on, then.
Anyone ever tell you you're heavier than you look?
Nick leaned against Mary's shoulders as they made their way across the valley.
Thanks, Mary. Now on top of bruises and taser burns, I've got a weight complex. And when we're done here, I'm gonna have to purge, and it's all your fault.
Seriously? That skinny frame is hiding more muscle than people would guess.
Now, this is sexual harassment, and I'm telling Herschel.
You know I don't have to let you lean on me.
No one's perfect. I guess I can let it slide this once. How's everyone doing, anyway?
Roy and Alice are making good progress. Camille is about to heal Vince back from unconsciousness, but they won their fight. And Alex is on his way to intercept Michael and Brittany before they get close to our base.
Vince got knocked out? I'm curious how Camille managed to pull it out of the fire. Vince must have left them barely standing.
Actually, Vince was taken out before the fight even began. We're going to need to have a talk with Camille about holding back on us.
How bad?
Let's just say you'll be giving her a new card.
Huh. It's always the quiet ones. Think we're getting close to their flag?
No idea, but if Alex manages to bring down the last two, then we've got all the time in the world to hunt.
Alex versus Brittany and Michael? Maybe we should hurry.
When he returned to consciousness, Vince found himself with his head in Camille's lap, staring up at her as his vision cleared. She'd taken the time to put her clothes on and move him away from the battered bodies of their opponents.
Are you okay?
Pretty sure that's supposed to be my line. I'm fine. How are you?
I feel good. Should I be laying here like this? What about our enemies?
They're taken care of. We can go back whenever you feel ready to walk.
Vince slowly pulled himself to a sitting position.
What do you mean, taken care of?
I mean they aren't a problem anymore. You saved me, and I was able to handle the fight.
You were? I mean, not that I think you couldn't have, but...
I did tell you that I've been doing martial arts for years.
I guess you did. Who did you fight?
Alan and Hector. Alan's the one who threw the explosion at you. How'd you know it was coming, anyway?
It's kind of hard to explain. When you deal with energy as much as I do, you learn the little signs it gives off when it's coming.
Well, I'm glad you noticed it. Thanks for pushing me out of the way, but you shouldn't have put yourself in danger like that.
Don't be ridiculous.
Vince stood and looked down at Camille to offer her a hand up.
I'm the combat fighter. It's my job to keep you out of harm's way. I'm going to protect you no matter what. Next time, I'll just try to be better at it.
Camille looked up at him and smiled. She grabbed his hand and pulled herself vertical.
Let's get back to Alex.
Alex could feel Vince and Camille headed back toward the flag, which relaxed him a little.
I hate leaving the place undefended, but I need to draw our enemies away from our flag if we stand any chance of winning.
He'd sensed two people approaching the camp, and though he didn't have much practice with sneaking, he did have the advantage of feeling his opponent's presence. He hoped that would help him get the drop on them. One of the minds was incredibly focused, straining to hear every rustle and snap in the woods around it. The other was cavalier, uncaring save for a burning, violent desire.
Okay, gotta prioritize and take them out one at a time. The focused one seems more dangerous, so I'll go for that one first.
Alex levitated a hefty log into the air at his side and prepared himself to strike. He burst through the woods to find not two enemies staring at him, but one. Michael Clark blinked in surprise as Alex and the floating log emerged from behind the tree line.
Oh, shit.
For the briefest of moments, Alex had forgotten that Brittany could become invisible. His eyes swept across the area, trying to find his hidden opponent. Michael's first blue blast struck Alex square in the chest. The cold crept through his torso and made every breath difficult. The next one took him in the left leg, causing Alex to drop the log. Michael froze Alex's other leg next, just for good measure.
Nice try, freak!
Michael closed the gap between them. Alex tried to fight through the numbness and grab hold of Michael with his power, But before he could, Michael's ice-encased fist slammed violently into Alex's face. He felt something break in his head. Alex was vaguely aware that his brain felt like it was filling with liquid, and his entire face burned with pain. He could barely focus on the image in front of him, let alone fight back.
Hey, take it easy!
Brittany's voice floated through the air from somewhere over Alex's shoulder.
Fuck that! This kid could break through ice with his mind if I just freeze him. I have to make sure his brain's too scrambled to get back in the game.
Brittany watched, appalled, as Michael drove a solid left hook directly into Alex's ear. Had he not been frozen in a standing position, Alex's body would have tumbled to the ground. Instead, his head plopped softly against his chest.
Look, Michael, he's out. You're done.
I'll decide when I'm done.
Michael reared back, his ice-encrusted fist again.
No!
Brittany stepped forward and wrapped her invisible hand around his elbow, pulling his arm back.
We have a deal, Michael. You want to win? That means you can't get us disqualified. Keep pounding on his brain like this, and I guarantee you we get taken out of the competition.
I see getting tossed out for being too strong is a win.
Michael's arm remained tense.
I have to get his attention off Alex, or this is going to be bad. Fine, you want to end this, then go ahead. I just thought you were more interested in going after the big fish. I mean, Alex here is barely competition. Isn't that why you had your sights set on Vince?
Slowly. So damned slowly. The tension in Michael's arm decreased, and he lowered his fist to his side.
Let's go.
Michael stepped around Alex and walked forward without so much as a single glance back. Brittany let out a breath she didn't realize she'd been holding. She didn't want to think about what might have happened to Alex if she hadn't been there.
When this is over, I need to talk to someone. I don't care if it weakens my team. Michael has no place in the HCP.
Alex is gone.
Camille scanned the area in every direction as she and Vince arrived back at the flag.
The only reason he would have left is if other people were approaching. The plan was to keep someone stationed here at all times.
Maybe we shouldn't be standing out in the open then, just in case?
Yeah. If Alex comes back, he'll know we're here. If someone else wanders by, well, we've already seen how valuable the element of surprise is today.
I guess we have.
They headed for the tree line, where they blended in as best as their gray uniforms would allow. Michael saw the flag first, dashing through the clearing ahead of Brittany to confirm what his eyes had suspected. He stopped, a sense of disappointment filling him. There it was. The goal, the objective, the game finisher. His team would win, but he hadn't gotten the rematch he wanted.
Fuck.
Michael started a slow, steady march toward the flag and his now inevitable victory.
I had a feeling you'd be on the offensive.
Vince stepped out from behind the tree line. He was slightly closer to the flag than Michael, but if they both made a dash for it, it would be a close race. In his peripheral vision, Michael saw Camille edging along the side of the clearing.
Happy birthday to me.
Michael flashed a deranged grin and angled his body so that he was facing the silver-haired boy dead on.
I was hoping for this.
A fresh coat of ice armor crackled over Michael's body, splintering and fissuring at his joints to allow for movement. Here, at last, he and Vince were facing each other for the first time since freshman year. Michael would finally prove that his win was no fluke.
I guess telling you that this is pointless would be a waste of my breath.
I don't know about a waste. I find begging to be a fine appetizer. But let's be honest, both of us are here for the main course.
Michael let fly a series of punches. Vince took off running, keeping a few steps ahead of Michael's attacks. Most of them struck the ground. But one blast seemed to stop in midair, only a few yards away from Michael. It formed into an ice encasement and hung there, swaying gently from side to side. It only took a moment for Vince to understand.
Camille! Brittany's here! Stall her!
Camille hurtled forward, coming to a stop with the hovering ice at her front and the flag at her back.
My cover's blown! Freeze the healer so I can grab the flag!
In response, Michael turned to where Brittany's voice had come from. New mini-glaciers formed, seeming as though a set of legs were bound in them.
What the hell?
Brittany shimmered into view. She was frozen in place, having been rooted to the ground by her ally.
If you grab the flag, it's over. I'm not letting anyone interrupt this.
You're out of your fucking mind.
You're the one who made the deal.
Michael turned his attention back to Vince.
Now let's pick this back up. I hope you can put up a better fight than your last friend. He was pathetic.
So Alex did catch up to you.
Be careful, Vince. He's not stable. He beat Alex half to death.
Is that true?
The distance between Vince and Michael was smaller now.
Not my fault he can't take a punch. Kinda reminds me of you. Maybe when we're done here, I'll go back and see if he's awake. Or I can take out the rest of my energy on your little friend by the flag.
I see.
Michael sent multiple bursts of freezing energy toward Vince at short range. Vince stood there as the forming ice engulfed him, sealing him from head to toe in a solid block within a span of seconds.
Anticlimactic, but I guess that's the best I can expect from you.
Michael turned to look at Camille, his last remaining opponent on the field.
Now, it's your turn.
Aren't you curious how the fight's going?
Mary and Nick trudged through the grass, the taller boy finally able to shamble along without her help.
Nah, it's Vince and Camille versus Brittany and Michael. There are only two ways it can go. Either Brittany sneaks past and grabs the flag, or they manage to stall and incapacitate her.
What about Michael?
Come on. You know why I paired Vince with Camille.
Because they have the strongest combat and non-combat abilities on our team, and because she's in love with him, so that will probably make her work harder to help him.
True, but there's another reason. Camille is small, shy, and gentle. Her only ability is to heal people and make them feel better. She's so nice, even I want to protect her, and I don't really go in for any of that shit. Given what we know about Vince being the kind of guy who goes all out when other people are in danger, how hard do you think he'll fight to keep someone like her safe?
Oh, yeah. That won't be pretty.
I don't know about that. I bet you before that fight's over, there's gonna be some really beautiful fireworks.
Michael had only taken a couple of steps toward Camille.
Huh?
He turned around in time to see the block of ice splintering to the ground, falling away from Vince in a mess of steam and boiling water. The silver-haired boy stepped out of his frosty tomb without any effort. His blue eyes were unwavering, locked on Michael.
Guess I shouldn't be surprised you kept a little more heat in you after our last fight. I wonder how many times you can pull that trick.
Do you know why I told you this was pointless?
Yeah, you didn't want me to beat the hell out of you. Huh?
His ice punches exploded into steam before they even got close to Vince.
You can't freeze me anymore, no matter what you throw.
Fine. I'll just kick your ass the old-fashioned way.
Michael charged forward. He opened with a combo of punches, followed by a left hook toward Vince's head. Vince moved around his punches easily.
You were already a worse fighter than I am, and you're slow. You're no threat to me.
Kiss my ass!
Michael struck faster and more violently. His fists kept connecting with nothing but air, while Vince's smug expression stayed out of reach.
You'll tire out eventually. You can't even hurt me. My win is inevitable.
Where did you get the idea that I couldn't hurt you?
The lightning bolt from Vince's palm struck Michael square in the torso.
When did electricity...
With a supreme effort, Michael pulled himself up to his knees and looked at his opponent. Vince stared down at him.
The reason I told you this was pointless is because it is. You can't freeze me. You can't hit me. You can't even defend against me. You're so far below me that beating you isn't even a challenge. You're nothing to me, Michael.
You're just a freak. A freak who got in a lucky punch on our first day.
Normally, I wouldn't have been so cruel as to show you the truth, but you just wouldn't let it go. So, try and learn the lesson this time, Michael. Because if you ever threaten or touch my friends again, I'll show you what I can really do.
Vince turned around and walked away from Michael's still struggling body.
You didn't knock me out!
Why would I bother? It's not as if you can do anything.
Those words, and the truth behind them, savaged Michael more than any of Vince's attacks.
Attention all students. The match between teams 1 and 4 has reached its end. Alice Adair of team 1 has taken team 4's flag. Staff will be coming through momentarily for healing and extraction.
Professor Hill, please report to room 1408.
How are you feeling?
I've got one of the best healers in the school on my team. She patched me up right away.
Nick and Professor Pendleton were in an infirmary office, going over a post-battle checkup. Healers or not, it would be irresponsible not to check a student's mental and physical health after a combat situation. The professors handled this task, not because of any extensive medical knowledge, but because they knew, all too well, the telltale signs of a student hiding something that might be wearing on them.
Still, electricity can have some lingering effects. Tasing yourself was pretty dangerous.
Not like it's my first time on the shit end of an electrical charge. Besides, things are only dangerous if they fail. When they succeed, they're innovative.
Professor Pendleton wondered if he'd been this foolhardy and brash in his youth.
I suppose it was rather creative. I guess no one would have expected you to get the better of Gilbert in a one-on-one match.
In all fairness, even I only gave myself 50-50 odds.
Yet you went ahead with such an uncertain strategy. Why?
Because I'll take 50% over zero any day.
There was another option. You could have let Mary handle both of them.
Gilbert's power makes him difficult for her to deal with. We fought him last year and learned that firsthand. If he distracted her, Terrence might have gotten in a shot.
Why, Nick, you almost sound as though you were concerned about her.
I was. Mary's our strongest member. If she got taken out, it could have been trouble.
A rather cold, if accurate, sentiment. At any rate, it's hard to argue about the efficacy of tactics with the one who triumphed.
Professor Pendleton pulled out a folder from his briefcase and set it in Nick's lap.
You're free to go. Consider this a parting gift. It's a summary of what happened with each member of your team during the match. Normally, it would go to the captain, but since you're here and I have it, you can pass it along.
I guess handing these out is standard?
Only to the teams themselves. If you want to know about the other teams, you'll have to rely on gossip and hearsay just like everyone else.
So we don't get to know anything about the other team's match, then?
Only their completion time. Your match lasted 44 minutes and 13 seconds. As for the other match, Team 2 defeated Team 3 in just under 10 minutes.
Huh. That's actually better than I'd expected.
You do understand that they devastated the other team in a fourth of the time it took you to win, right?
Sure, but look at what they're working with. Taking 10 minutes to win tells me they don't have a strong enough team dynamic or a tactician.
Nick rose to his feet.
Just out of curiosity, what makes you say that?
If I had been the one running their team, they could have won the match in 5.
Nick was many things. Irritating, condescending, emotionally distant. All of that was obvious. But he wasn't overly prideful. The boy seemed to view himself with an almost clinical detachment when evaluating his personal capabilities. From everything Professor Pendleton had observed, if Nick thought he could do something, he usually had several good reasons to justify it.
You should be less concerned with how to manage them and more concerned with how to defeat them.
Oh, come on. You and I both know those are one and the same. Thanks for the file. I'll be sure Mary gets it.
Professor Pendleton looked down to the floor and suppressed a smile. Say what you would about Nick, he kept things interesting.
Nice to see you're taking this job at least somewhat seriously.
Sean Pendleton's smile evaporated as he looked back up at the doorway.
Hello, Professor Hill. All done checking on students.
Professor Hill? Really, Sean? It's bad enough you avoid me at every turn. Now you want to stick with formalities? I'm beginning to feel a bit hurt.
Apologies, Blake. I suppose I just don't think we have all that much to talk about.
Oh, I think we could talk about plenty. Why on earth you're here, for example?
Dean Blaine requested I fill the vacant position, one that opened up because you allowed a pair of traitors to live under your nose for years.
So, we replaced traitors with a criminal. The Lander HCP is really moving up in the world.
If you have a problem with my employment, bring it up with the Dean. Otherwise, we're done here.
Professor Pendleton stood and strode to the doorway, but Professor Hill grabbed his arm before he could make it all the way through.
Let go of me, Blake. You don't want to do this.
We aren't kids anymore, Sean, and I've gotten a lot stronger while you've been rotting in jail. Still, you're right. I don't want to do it. I just want to make you aware that I know the real reason you came to Lander.
Congratulations. You figured out the world's easiest puzzle. Of course she's why I'm here. So, what of it?
Just letting you know to watch yourself. Her path has already been decided. Any attempts to interfere won't be well received.
I wouldn't dream of it. Though, given your track record with such things, maybe I should.
Professor Hill released Professor Pendleton's arm.
What happened was a tragedy. I never disagree with you there. But placing blame doesn't help anyone.
It might not, but it sure as hell helps me wake up in the morning.
Professor Pendleton walked quickly out the door and into the hallway before his emotions could get the better of him.
I'd just like to start by saying that everyone did an amazing job.
Mary stood in front of her team as they lounged in the Melbrook Common Room.
I was listening to the team's thoughts throughout the match, and you were all great at sticking with the plan and thinking ahead.
Even Roy.
Herschel's more muscular brother had opted not to attend the meeting. Herschel suspected he was sulking about having only gotten one fight out of the experience.
He did indeed. In fact, it's thanks to him and Alice that we got the flag. So an extra thank you to both of them.
Alice blushed as everyone in the room clapped. It had been more luck than skill that she'd noticed the flag flapping in the breeze. Still, she was glad she'd contributed to the team.
Now then, because we only improve by learning from our mistakes and successes, Nick has a few things he wanted to address before we officially start celebrating our win.
Mary sat down, and Nick bowed with a flourish.
Thank you, Captain. First things first. I'd like to show you all a little motivational tool I've put together.
He reached behind his chair and produced a rectangular black wooden frame. Within it were seven playing cards, each with a corresponding team member's name beneath it.
Oh, goody. You framed our we suck analogy.
Not exactly. You remember how I said I would update this as my data changed? Well, in light of today's match, I have a couple of alterations to make.
Nick laid the frame on the coffee table and popped off the back. He slipped away two of the cards and slid two more playing cards into their places. He refastened the back of the frame and held it up once more, turning it around for the room to see.
I'm a queen now?
I'd say adding electricity to your ranged attacks more than qualifies you for that. Speaking of which, why didn't you mention that little development to any of us?
I don't know. I mean, Professor Fletcher really put in a lot of work helping me learn it, and it took a while. I guess bringing it up felt like bragging.
Just for reference, telling the people who coordinate strategies for the entire team that you have a new skill is not bragging. It's reporting relevant information.
So, Vince, I get, but why is Camille an ace now? Doesn't that mean she has combat abilities?
Indeed, she does.
Nick looked over at the small girl who currently looked as if she might faint. Had the file Professor Pendleton provided not included her explanation to Vince about her victory, Nick might have taken her reaction to be mere embarrassment. He knew she was hiding her real power from Vince for some reason. Nick didn't know why yet, but he would very soon. Until then, he saw no benefit in upsetting one of the team's strongest members.
It seems Camille has quite a martial arts background that she neglected to mention to us. Given how well she held her own today, I felt the card change was appropriate.
Nick took an odd pleasure in watching the relief and shock wash over Camille's face.
That's awesome. You have to tell us about your fight.
Moving on. While we certainly had a lot of success today, I want to bring a key piece of information to light. We nearly lost this match.
What do you mean? I thought everyone won their fights except Alex.
We did. We came out ahead in nearly every combat situation. But if it hadn't been for a severe fuck-up on their team's part, I doubt we'd be celebrating right now.
It's true. Brittany was invisible when she and Michael came and attacked us. If he hadn't gotten careless and frozen her arm, we wouldn't have known she was there. If he'd frozen Camille instead of his teammate, I'm not sure if I could have kept her from getting to the flag in time.
Precisely. I'm not saying this to point fingers or make anyone feel bad. You all did exactly what you were supposed to do. I just want you to be aware of the importance of keeping ahead of the enemy's tactics. Brittany's plan removed a big part of our telepathic advantage, giving up combat losses to keep us occupied, and putting their trust in her being able to secure the flag before we noticed she was there. It was risky as hell, and it nearly worked. We earned this win, but it wasn't a blowout by any means. Don't get overconfident, and don't underestimate our opponents. After this, I don't expect them to underestimate us again.
Wow. Way to be a bummer.
Sorry. Learning from both victory and failure is the only shot we have to make it through this thing.
So, what do we need to do?
In the next few weeks, we'll come up with a new training plan. But for tonight, we relax. We kicked ass today, and I think we earned a night to take it easy. Maybe we'll even celebrate this weekend. It's up to you guys, but as it stands, we're winners. And I think we should bask in the glow of being victorious for a change.
I want to thank you for bringing this to our attention, Miss Ferguson. I know it can't have been easy.
After what happened today, it would have been a lot harder to sleep tonight if I hadn't told you.
Dean Blaine regarded Brittany with a new measure of respect. Fighting clear-cut villains was easy to do. When the world is black and white, you never need to worry about where you stand in a conflict. In situations like this, however, where there were easier ways out, Brittany had still taken the right path, even though it would weaken her team. As an educator, he wasn't supposed to play favorites with his students. Yet, all the same, he found himself earnestly pleased that someone like her was doing so well in the HCP.
I assure you that we will take appropriate measures. In fact, Michael was already under close watch, but having one of his own peers express such concerns certainly solidifies what we'd feared.
I just don't want anyone to get hurt. We got lucky today. If Vince hadn't been so much stronger, let's just say I don't think Michael would have been nearly as gracious.
The safety of my students is paramount. This will be dealt with, I promise you.
Thank you.
Brittany rose to leave.
Please send Professor Fletcher in on your way out. He should be waiting outside the door.
Brittany nodded and walked out the door.
Professor?
Thank you, Brittany.
Carl Fletcher walked in and took the seat Brittany had been occupying.
You heard.
I did.
I'd hoped, with a tight leash and some close monitoring, he would straighten up. Since you're the professor of his best subject, tell me your impressions.
He's talented. If he weren't so angry all the time, he could make some serious progress with an ability like his. What is it about Vince that's got him so twisted up?
Mr. Reynolds is only the most recent in Michael Clark's line of conquests. His record indicates that when he loses to someone, he becomes obsessed with surpassing them. It was actually a strike in his favor when applying, because up until his time at Lander, that obsession manifested itself in tireless training. I dare say his recent shift toward the psychotic revolves around his inability to make any traction in defeating Mr. Reynolds, as well as a downward slide into alcohol abuse.
He's drinking that much?
I've had our people perform a few covert searches of his dorm room. He's well beyond the limit of what a healthy liver can reasonably be expected to handle, even for a college student. I've sat him down and reached out to him a few times in private meetings. However, nothing seems to be getting through.
And then today, he nearly scrambled Alex's brains. If he'd thrown one more punch, I was going to have to intervene and stop the whole match.
You were watching?
Of course.
And tell me, Carl, with all your years of experience, what do you think?
He was intending to kill that young telepath. I've seen that look in too many people's faces not to recognize it. Now, a desire to kill doesn't mean much on its own. Some of the best supers I know were people who had to actively control themselves to keep from letting their darker urges get the better of them in battle. Having a monster inside you doesn't automatically make you one, provided you have the discipline and self-awareness to keep it under control.
I would agree with you on all counts. In some ways, I prefer dealing with people whose darkness is more visible. It leads to less unfortunate surprises. The issue here is that I think Michael Clark lacks that control, whether it's a result of the alcohol abuse or not. He's shown himself to be an unacceptable threat to the other students.
So, do we boot him?
We could. However, given his skills and his violent tendencies, I feel it would merely be a matter of time before he wound up in prison for assault.
What other options do you have?
There is one other way. What Michael needs is more discipline and focus than he's getting in his current environment. Obviously, he won't be making the cut for Hero, but before we resort to expulsion, we could give him a semester or two at Lander's East Campus to get himself together.
I wasn't aware Lander had an East Campus.
It's closer to a sister school than anything else. We don't talk about it often because we only transfer students who require specialized training or discipline.
Sounds like a good fit for him, then. What'll you do if he doesn't want to transfer?
I wasn't planning on asking. Tonight, Michael Clark will either be moved to Lander East, or he will be banned from the HCP program. I will not train a person who I believe will use that training to harm others. Not now, not ever. Not in my school.
Understood.
Professor Fletcher stood to leave, but paused.
If I remember correctly, you're a Lander graduate yourself. Ever do any time at the East Campus during your days here?
A slight grin broke through Dean Blaine's unusually professional demeanor.
That will be all, Professor Fletcher.
So, how does it feel to have won your first match, oh valiant captain?
Herschel smiled as Mary laid her head on his chest. They were in Herschel's room, sharing one of their increasingly rare moments alone as a couple.
Exhausting. Trying to keep up with what everyone was doing across the entire battlefield, not to mention worrying about them when things got dangerous, and having to listen to Nick all day. I'm gonna sleep like a baby tonight.
I bet. You're amazing, you know that?
It might have come up in conversation a few times. You're not too shabby yourself.
Meh, I'm a nerd who can turn into someone awesome.
Mary sat up slightly so she could look him in the eye.
None of that. You're brave, smart, resourceful, and kind. I wouldn't be dating a guy who is just meh.
You make a strong case.
Herschel kissed her on the cheek.
Speaking of resourcefulness, I had a thought about how we could celebrate our win. Halloween is next weekend, so...
Please don't tell me you want to go to that costume frat party again.
No. I was thinking we could hit one of the haunted houses in town. There's one called Screamtopia that's nationally recognized. It has mazes, hidden passages, and all sorts of special effects. They say they even use a super or two to really bring the impossible to life. Plus, on Halloween weekend, they have a big lounge at the end where you can hang out and drink. I figure that way everyone's happy.
You're hoping to have me terrified and holding you tight the entire time.
I thought you didn't listen to my thoughts.
Didn't need to. I'm hoping for the same thing.
Camille was nearly halfway back to her dorm when a figure stepped out of the shadows. She tensed immediately and brought her hands up in a defensive stance. Camille relaxed and lowered her hands.
You scared me.
I scared you? That's pretty rich considering the difference in power between us.
Nick walked all the way into the light and slowly approached. He still wore his sunglasses, even at night.
After what I learned today, it's hard to imagine you being scared of anyone.
I don't like being startled.
You don't? You know, funny coincidence, I'm not big on surprises either. So try and imagine my annoyance at finding out one of my teammates had been hiding a tremendously important aspect of her powers.
I wasn't trying to hide. I just didn't want...
Vince, to know. Yes, I'm aware of your feelings, So is Mary, and really anyone with perception and a pulse. You're in luck, though, because that still rules out Vince. I get that you're keeping it from him and it doesn't bother me, but what does bother me is when you hide things I need to know about in order to strategize effectively. So let's go ahead and clear the air. First off, why are you so set against him knowing that you can give back the damage you absorb?
We met when we were kids. He doesn't remember me because I was using a nickname and had dyed hair. I'm scared if he sees my real power, he'll figure out who I am.
Why is that so bad? Did Kid You beat him up or something?
No. I was his first kiss.
Camille was unable to hide the blush washing over her skin. She expected a snappy comeback, but Nick was silent for some time before responding.
I get it. I didn't understand what you told Alan at first, but now it makes sense. Vince must have left quite an impression on you as a kid. It's not surprising. I doubt he was any less foolhardy and moral than he is now. So, you met this kid whose memory stuck with you, and then some years later, you show up at Lander, and here he is. Now you finally got your chance to be with him, but you gotta find the right angle.
It's not like that. I don't expect him to be with me, and I'm not trying to trick him into it. It's just that he's so reckless. He always charges into things for other people without giving thought to his own safety. He's gonna get hurt one day.
And you want to be there to save him when he does, which you have a much better chance of doing as a friend than as a romantic partner. I think I understand now. All right. I'll keep your secret.
You will?
Yes, but understand, keeping it will never take priority over winning one of our team's matches. Got me?
Of course.
It's kind of a shame, actually.
What?
You're selfless, protective, and dedicated. If you weren't so set against getting involved with him, you two would be a good match. Probably better for me in the long run this way. The last thing I need is a pair of do-gooders always around. Just handling one of you takes up enough energy.
Thank you, I think.
Not at all.
Nick gave Camille a smile that made her think of when her cat used to watch her fish swim in their bowl.
I'm glad we had this little chat. I think our team will be stronger for it. Be safe walking home. You never know what kind of weirdos are out there.
Hey! Tall, tan, and talkative! Hold up!
Thomas turned to see Angela heading toward him as the sophomores made their way down the underground hallway toward the lifts.
Can I help you?
We need to talk about the party.
The party?
Yeah, the party. The shindig, the festivity, the kegger, the gathering. Is that enough synonyms?
I know what a party is. I'm not sure which party you're talking about.
Look, October's winding down. That means pretty soon most of the cuts to the freshman class will have been made. And, as I explained last year at my place, it's tradition for the sophomores to host a social gathering for the newbies.
Wait, you want me to host it?
It's a good thing you've got a knack for fighting, kid, because you aren't too quick on the upswing. Yes, you need to host it. You're a sophomore, and you have a big house in a nice area where the residents are all supers.
Thomas resisted the urge to ask how she knew so much about his living situation.
I might have the resources, but I'm not really the most outgoing person in our class. Isn't there someone who might be a better fit for this?
You're joking, right? Look, being a good host isn't about creating fun. The kegs and the kids will handle all of that on their own. It's about being respected and powerful enough to create order when things get out of hand, which they will. Take last year. If I hadn't broken up the pissing match that started over a game of beer pong, a lot of bad shit could have happened.
If it's power and respect, why not someone like Chad? I don't think anyone would question his authority.
For one thing, he lives in the dorms and doesn't have the space. For another, Chad is even more antisocial. I don't know that people would show up to something he organized. And if the party is only five sophomores, the freshmen are going to feel like they're being courted by a group of losers who can't make friends.
I guess I can see your point. But I still have some...
Listen, I don't have time for this. The torch is passed. If you want help or advice, by all means, come to me. If you want to slide the burden onto someone else, that's your call. Just remember, we have this tradition for a reason. Freshman year is scary as shit, and letting those kids know that they have our support can make a big difference for some of them. So if you want to blow it off, I can't stop you. But then, if I thought you were the type to do that, I wouldn't have asked you in the first place.
You don't know me. We've barely spoken more than a handful of times. What makes you think I'm a good fit for this?
Shane recommended you.
Angela gave Thomas a half smile.
Funny thing about my brother. He has a knack for getting a sense of people. He said you were the most responsible guy in the whole class. That was enough for me.
Angela turned and walked away. Thomas cleared his head as he watched Angela's sunshine-colored locks sway off into the distance.
Well, at least Violet and Stella will be happy about the news.